And when you get as old as Brother Philip and I are, and I am older by far, you have lots of memories. Today I was singing one of my memories. I wonder if this predates most of us. Probably. But anyway, do you remember this? Anybody remember this? Praise him, all ye little children. God is love, God is love. Praise him, all ye little children. God is love, God is love. Was that a hard key? Well, let's do the key of C then. Okay. Love him, all ye little children. God is love, love him, all ye little children. God is love, and then there's a thank him, and maybe a few others. And we're all to be little children in order to come into the kingdom of heaven. We must be converted and become as little children. So I know that song wasn't in my heart all day, but it was right about the time that I was singing it that I got a text message from home from one of the kids that said, today is National Middle Child Day. Did anybody know that? And that made me feel good. I wrote back right away, Jeff and I must be celebrated today, and as well as Rachel and Mom, we're all middle children. I felt a little bad. How many middle children here? It's your day. It's your day today. I didn't know that till somebody informed me. Okay. They have days for everything. So, I kind of felt bad that I wrote that I must be celebrated, and we should praise the Lord for His goodness and for His mercy. And so, I have a song for all the middle children to sing with me. Okay, you ready? Sing along. Praise him, all ye middle children. God is love, praise him, all ye middle children. God is love, and he is, and his mercies endure forever. His steadfast love never ceases. Praise the Lord. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. For mercy so great, what return shall I make? For mercy so constant and sure. And I guess I'm so thankful, not just because I'm a middle child and it's my day and your day, but because the Lord gave me the opportunity to be here with you today. It's been rare this summer that I could be here, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy to worship him with you, and I'm happy and thankful for his mercies today. I want to do as we sang. I'll love him, I'll serve him with all that I have as long as my life shall endure. I trust God has put that in your heart as well. I believe he has. And he's working in us today. He's working in us tonight. And we thank him. I was watching Brother Philip playing his violin before, and he played that song. And I just noticed, I just wasn't watching too carefully, but I said, now look at that. His hand's his hand is moving, but his arm, he's got it in one place. Okay, I watched, I picked it out. I said, he's playing the fourth position. I don't like the fourth position when I had to play the violin. I was much happier in the third or the first. But he's playing the fourth position, and with that, on this particular song, he hardly has to change. When I play the fourth position, I'm moving all over to get out of it. But he was sticking with it. See, that's because he's a real violinist. And I enjoyed watching him, and then I enjoyed thinking about those words again, as Phil said. And I think, like he did, of those that went before. My mom went to be with the Lord this week also. I think Aunt Martha was a little later, but I thought of her a lot and the way she served God with all of her heart. And yesterday, I came across something that I got from Sister Inez. And I was reminded of it when I drove past the cemetery here where she's buried in town. And I drove past there today and I thought of her. Her picture is up there. She was a faithful worker here for many years. She died probably about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more, I'm not sure. But yesterday, I came across something that she sent me. It was on the day that I was ordained to the ministry, because I knew that because I saw the date, October 2nd. And it said, with congratulations and prayerful interest, Matthew 4:4. And it was folded over. I'm almost positive there was some kind of a love gift or offering in there because the page was folded over. I don't remember how much it was. I am sure it was spent long ago, maybe even before I got it. No, it was spent. It's gone. It was something temporal, not eternal. But prayerful interest is something that lasts forever. Your prayers, your gifts, your prayers, Cornelius, are come up as a memorial before God, or in Revelation, the prayers of the saints, the vials containing incense that those are the prayers of the saints, it says. And the Lord Jesus himself is praying for us, has a prayerful interest in you and in everything that concerns you. Isn't that wonderful to think of? His mercy is so great. And you are in his heart and on his mind, if we can say it that way. And he doesn't forget you. He'll never forget you. His mercies are so great. And then she wrote or directed me to that text, Matthew 4:4, which says that Jesus answered, "Man shall not live by bread alone." See, that's the temporal. He has to have bread, he has to have food, he has to eat in order to sustain his physical life. But by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God, man lives, yes, by bread, but not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The spiritual life must be nourished by spiritual food. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." And I was blessed in thinking of Sister Inez's prayerful interest and the verse that she chose for me that day. And since then, it's been coming to me. Jesus said, quoting from Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, man doesn't live by bread alone. That's not what was meant to be. By bread, yes, but not by bread alone. But man is to be quickened by the very life of God. The word is life-giving. The word is life-changing. And so I thought tonight that if I say anything, I already said a few things, but if I say anything of importance that I want you to remember, it's that this word is precious, and we want to feed upon it. Let it nourish our very lives and feed our souls, convict us, change us, strengthen us, and that God has given us this word so that we might know Him and that we might know His ways and His great salvation. And I'm thankful that we have this book. I don't know how many of you younger ones were at the youth retreat. Was anybody here at the youth retreat that we had this summer? Okay. And you had a theme verse from 1 Peter. I just want to give this by way of example about the preciousness of knowing the Word of God. This shouldn't take too long. Your verse was from 1 Peter, is it 2nd chapter, 8th verse, or somewhere right around there, where the Apostle Peter addressing the Christians and a largely Gentile audience, I'm sure, he said, it's the 9th verse, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And I guess it was the 9th verse that was emphasized and different leaders spoke. Johanna, did you take one of these? There was a chosen race or generation, right? And then a royal priesthood someone spoke on. I wasn't here, but I heard a little report. A holy nation and a special people. In the King James Version says a peculiar people, and that we surely are. But it means special to God, belonging to Him, as it says here, a people for His own possession. And why? To show forth His glory, His praises. That's what God meant for His people. His church should show forth His glory. You see that in Ephesians 3, that everyone in earth and heaven, spiritual realms, earthly realms, everyone wonders when they look at the church and they see what God can do with sinners, poor lost sinners, filled with themselves and filled with self-seeking and hatred and all the things that go along with being in darkness and being sinful and far from God. And in Ephesians 3, I think the emphasis is that the Gentiles are brought in, and what no one else could do and nothing else could do, God does in having Gentiles and Jews coexist in harmony in Christ. I think that's one of the great things that everyone has to wonder at that God can fill hearts that are, as I said, full of themselves, hatred, self-seeking, with love. There was such a hatred there and such a division that could not be bridged, but God did it in Christ. But anyway, God's people are meant to show forth His praises. And so I asked, after meeting was over, after the weekend was over, I said to one of the leaders, did you ever look at Exodus 19 while you were studying this? And I'm not sure if they did. He said no. Now, he may have stepped out, or he might have not been paying attention. I don't know. But he said, no, we didn't do that. And I thought, now, I'm not saying that he didn't know Exodus 19. What I'm saying is, if you know Exodus 19, this passage in 1 Peter 2 becomes, I think, infinitely richer. How? Okay, Peter took this, I'm sure the Holy Spirit brought it to mind because the scripture is God-breathed, but Peter took this from God's word to his Old Testament people. And here, God's word to his New Testament people is the same. He had brought them out of the bondage in Egypt, out of slavery, out of the house of bondage, he says. And he had brought them out in his great mercy. He set them free. They were redeemed by blood. He brought them to himself, and it was for a reason. He says that there in Exodus 19, that they might be a people for him, a people for his glory and his praise in their world. He wanted to show what he could do through them. And it's, if you would happen to look at Exodus 19, there he brought them to Sinai to reveal himself and his holiness to them. And right at the beginning he says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians." It's verse 4, if anyone's looking at that. "How I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Moses, "These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." Isn't that great? Here's the same thing that Peter said many years later to God's people in the New Testament who had put their trust in Jesus and had received grace from God and life eternal. He had forgiven them. He had received them. They were now his. And what does that show me? Why is that so great? Well, it makes the point that the Bible is such a wonderful book. But it shows you that God always had this in his heart. And in his mind, he was going to have a people that would show forth his praises, that would live unto his glory. This was his purpose way back then. That's why he brought them out. And this was his purpose in the New Testament. That's why he brought us to himself, so that we might live for him, love him, and serve him with all that we have as long as our lives shall endure. Oh, thanks be to God for all his mercies. And it's such a wonderful thing to study the Bible and get to know the Bible. I think that that was just meant as an example to show that 1 Peter 2, 9 takes on such a richness if you know Exodus 19. Or you know that you might not know the exact reference, but I mean, if you know that that's what God said to his people when he got them to Sinai, and you say, and that's what God says to me. So that shows that God is the same, that his purpose is the same over his people throughout all the ages. We are his redeemed ones, and he has given us this wonderful word. And I you know, you can speak about the Bible and say how wonderful it is. I just wish I could share with everybody here, and I believe some of you already, maybe many of you, this wonderful love for God's word, this wonderful desire, like Jeremiah had, thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. That same kind of love to devour God's word and to just get it into you and make it a part of you. And God's Spirit will help us with that. But you know, I don't know that you can really share it. You can talk about it, and that's good. I think it's good to direct our attention to this. But as it says in one of the Terestagan poems, you have to give yourself a chance. O weary souls, draw near him. To you, I can but bring one drop of that great ocean, one blossom of that spring. You have to come. You have to come and drink your fill and take. This is such a wonderful, wonderful book. These are wonderful words of life. Here's where we find out about the mercy of God. Here's where we find about the salvation of God. Here's where we find the call of God. And let's get into it and love it. And now it's your turn. I know we were supposed to be sharing, right? So I just felt impressed to say about the Word of God, give yourself a chance, more than you have, to get into it, and you will find riches there that I continually find riches. I'm always discovering new things, and what does it say? I have a wonderful treasure. Oh, here's another one from my past. I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I. That's a good song. I know some of these songs. One kid in church, we sang a song one night. I'm glad someone else started it, but he said to me after meeting, you know, that's one song you could really, leave behind. But the truth is really so great. I'm glad that they come back to my mind. A wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure, my Bible. Amen. More to be desired than gold, sweeter than the honeycomb, warning, blessing, just beyond measure, more than we have known yet. It's here for us, treasure to be mined for you.
We sing 9, I think that goes along with the sermon.
In the handbook?
I think it does.
Number 9 in the...
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart for songs of loudest praise. Sweet peace.